الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تسبوا أصحابي لا تسبوا أصحابي، فوالذي نفس محمد بيده لو أن أحدكم أنفق مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفة. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال: إن الله نظر في قلوب العباد فاختار محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم فبعثه برسالته وانتخبه بعلمه، ثم نظر في قلوب الناس بعده فاختار له أصحابا فجعلهم أنصار دينه ووزراء نبيه. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama kiram, honorable brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The ummah today on many fronts is facing a crisis situation. In places like Syria, Burma, Rohingya, Palestine, and in many parts of the world, the ummah is under physical assault, under direct warfare, under criminal and brutal assault. From within the ummah, there is also many attacks. Attacks to corrupt the minds of the youth, attacks to take people away from Islam, and attacks against Islam in the form and in the guise and disguise of Islam as well. What I mean by this is specific divisions created in the ummah with the purpose of destroying the strength and the unity of the ummah, that were created to bring about disruption and chaos in the ummah. In today's time, we very often hear slogans of unity, that we must unite with the Muslims across the globe, irrespective of what type of belief that person may have. As long as he is identifying himself as a Muslim, we should be able to unite with him on the common cause of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. While this is a noble sentiment, it is a misguided sentiment. Because unity in Islam is on one basis only, that of Quran and Sunnah. There can be no basis of unity other than Quran and Sunnah. My brothers, today you have groups that call the Sahaba as apostates, renegades and murtads. You have groups that say that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a forgery and should be discarded and thrown out of Islam. We have groups of people that say passages of the Quran are missing. We have groups of people who say that the Quran that we have is outdated. It needs a revision. It needs to be looked at and modified. My brothers, I ask you respectfully that if we will join in unity with all these groups of people, what will be left of Islam? What will be left of Quran and Sunnah if we say all these are part of Islam? The issue of takfir, of declaring anyone a disbeliever, is one of the most sensitive issues in Islam, to the extent that the ulama explain that if a person makes a statement and there are 100 possible interpretations of his statement, 99 of those would lead him towards being a kafir, but one interpretation would save his iman. We will choose that one interpretation and save his iman. But when something is clear cut, it's a direct attack against Quran and Sunnah, and if we will not be firm against that, then we are destroying the fabric of Islam. Then we are doing a disservice to Islam. My brothers, the topic for today, that is spoken on in this masjid and many masjids across South Africa, a national Jumu'ah, is on the mutual love between the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Ahlul Bayt. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we know, are the noble companions of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who brought Islam at his hands and who supported him throughout his life and carried the banner of Islam after his passing away. The Ahlul Bayt are the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his household, his near and dear ones. They are the Ahlul Bayt. Why is this topic important? That it is chosen as a national Jumu'ah. Because, my dear brothers and elders, there is a whispering that is starting. There is a rumor that is starting to circulate. We may have heard it and we may hear it in the future, that there was a rift between Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt. That there was enmity between Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt. That they were at loggerheads with each other. And what is the desired goal of this type of propaganda, of this rumor mongering? The goal behind this is the Ummah must distance itself from Sahaba, must break its link with Sahaba. And my brothers, if we break our link with Sahaba, Sahaba through whom the ahadith of Rasulullah was transmitted, Sahaba through whom Deen was transmitted, Sahaba through whom we got the Quran, then my brothers, if we break that link, then our Islam in entirety collapses. That is why this topic is so important. My brothers, before we go into the history of the relationship between Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt, what Quran says, what Hadith says about this, let us rationalize this just for a moment. We who are brought up by and large as followers of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which means people who follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of Sahaba, we have been brought up under Islam in this manner. If someone tells us, my brother, do you know that brother sitting there? He is a Sayyid. He is from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His great-grandfather was Hussein radiallahu anhu. What respect won't we have for that person? What reverence and honor won't we have for that person? Because we know within him flows the blood of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My brothers, you think about this for 1 second. That can it be possible by any stretch of imagination that those who grew up, who were brought up under the direct care and guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on whose mere whisper they were ready to lay down their lives, could there be anything in their hearts but the highest respect and reverence for his family? Could there be anything else? How is it even possible that we can even think of such a thing possible? In the Quran, Allah says, Muhammadur Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah says, Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and those with him, with no distinction, those with him including his family and Sahaba, their quality is, they are severe against the disbelievers in jihad, but amongst themselves there is love, compassion and muhabbah. In another verse of Quran, Allah says, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah divinely inspired love amongst them. لَوْ أَنْفَقَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. That if you had to spend even the entire world's wealth to try to bring about that love and unity, you would not have been able to achieve it, O my Nabi. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah has divinely done it. Allah has divinely inspired that love between the Sahaba radiallahu anhum amongst themselves and amongst the Ahlul Bayt. In today's or in every context of human history, marriage was always a point of bonding between families. And families would only marry into each other where there was a good relationship. You would never hear of a situation where that man did me down in business and I give my daughter to his son. Impossible. Where that man usurped my position and I gave my, you know, my daughter to his grandson. Never. It was only when there was a good relationship. And my brothers, let us just discuss this aspect about how the closeness was amongst the Sahaba and the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha is married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by virtue of which he is the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu, his daughter Hafsa radiallahu anha is also married to the Nabi of Allah, and by virtue of which he is the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he is married to two of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ruqayya radiallahu anha, and when she passes away, then he gives in marriage his next daughter Umme Kulthum radiallahu anha, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umme Kulthum also passes away in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Zawwiju Uthman." Make Uthman's nikah amongst yourselves, because I have no other daughters to give. If I had more, I would have given them one after the other to Uthman. وَمَا زَوَّجْتُهُ إِلَّا بِوَحْيٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. And those nikahs that I had made of my daughters to Uthman, it was through direct revelation from Allah. Allah had commanded those nikahs. Ali radiallahu anhu, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is married to the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha. From their union, how many children were born? We know Hassan and Hussein. That's all we generally know. Five children were born from this union. Three sons, Hassan, Hussein, and Muhsin radiallahu anhum. And two daughters, Zainab and Umme Kulthum radiallahu anha. These were the five children of Ali radiallahu an and Fatima radiallahu anha. In the khilafat of Umar radiallahu an, he approaches Ali radiallahu an with a proposal for his daughter Umme Kulthum. Ali radiallahu anh says, my intention was to marry her to the sons of Ja'far. But Umar radiallahu anh then says, my intention of marrying your daughter is to treat her with so much respect, care and consideration that no other man will do so. So Ali radiallahu anh agrees. And he performs the nikah of his daughter to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu gives 40,000 in mehr. Then he comes, Umar radiallahu anhu comes to the masjid. He tells the Sahaba, Raffi'uni, Hanni'uni, won't you congratulate me? Sahaba asked about what should we congratulate you. He said, on the marriage of myself with Umme Kulthum, the daughter of Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhu. So Sahaba congratulate him. And then Umar radiallahu anhu says, the only reason that I married her was due to this hadith, كُلُّ سَبَبٍ وَنَسَبٍ مُنْقَطِعٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا سَبَبِي وَنَسَبِي. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every connection and every lineage will come to an end on the day of Qiyamah except my connection and my lineage. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I gain one connection through the Nabi of Allah, through Hafsa's marriage with him, through my companionship with him. I wanted another connection by marrying the granddaughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we look at this, Umar radiallahu an is the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu an is the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Ali radiallahu an becomes the father-in-law of Umar radiallahu an. And Umar radiallahu anh then gets two children from that marriage with Umme Kulthum. So Ali radiallahu anh is the grandfather of Umar radiallahu anh's children.